Jehoshaphat, chapter 101. After the death of Asa, a new monarch ascended the throne of Judah. How will this king reign? Will he serve the Lord or the idols? Will he be a good king or a bad king? All these questions enter the minds of the inhabitants of Judah and Benjamin, especially in the hearts of the God-fearing Israelites. They do not know the answer to these questions. They must wait to find out. However, they need not wait long. It soon becomes apparent that the new king is a sovereign who fears God. While his father Asa reigned, the idols were broken to pieces, and the high places were taken away. The king who is now reigning continues that work of his father. Who is this new sovereign? He is the pious, God-fearing Jehoshaphat. The few idols which still remained are broken down upon the command of Jehoshaphat. The people are gladdened when they see this. They begin to have respect and esteem for their young monarch. Above all, Jehoshaphat was blessed by the Lord. The kingdom of Judah became strong and powerful. Jehoshaphat placed soldiers in many cities so they could defend their country in time of war. There is a great difference between this nation and the kingdom of the 10 tribes. The ungodly king Omri reigned over Israel at this time, and later his son Ahab. The idols were erected in all places of the kingdom of the 10 tribes, while in the kingdom of Judah they were broken down. The king of Israel commanded his subjects to kneel before these wooden or stone images. The king of Judah told his subjects they must worship the Lord only. The people of Israel are very wretched, but the people of Judah are blessed. Israel lived under the wrath of God. Judah lived under the blessings of God. Still, Jehoshaphat sometimes is very sad. Sad? Why? Alas, Jehoshaphat realized his people are very ignorant concerning the worship of the Lord. Once, long ago, God himself gave his laws to Israel in the wilderness. At that time, the Lord commanded the parents to teach their children these laws. But the people did not do so, and slowly they forgot these laws and institutions. Oh, many no longer knew what the Lord had commanded. This was sinful. For this cause, Jehoshaphat is grieved. He knows this is not as it should be, and the consequence will be grievous. It is an insult to the Lord, their heavenly king. Suddenly, a splendid plan enters his mind. If his people no longer know the laws and institutions of the Lord, and if they have forgotten them, they must learn them all over again. Jehoshaphat calls a few priests and Levites and commands them, "You must travel through the land and go from city to city and from village to village. When you come to these places, you must assemble together the people and read to them the laws, instructing and telling them about these laws, so that they again will know what is written in the book of the law of the Lord." A few distinguished Israelite princes go with these Levites. Oh, if that also would happen in our country! The people of our land know so little of the Bible. Yes, some scarcely know the Bible exists. Isn't that terrible? The Lord gave us his word so that we may search and study it. Do you, children? When you come home, do you read over the stories and events which are told to you in school or catechism? Jehoshaphat instructed his people so they would worship the Lord in truth and with their whole heart. The Lord blessed Judah. The nations which surrounded them brought rich presents to Jehoshaphat. The Philistines and the Arabians honored the young king. No one dares risk an attack upon them or wage war with them. Thus the inhabitants of Judah lived peacefully and prosperously, for the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. One day Jehoshaphat goes on a trip. He leaves Jerusalem, the capital, and travels to Samaria. To Samaria? What must he do there? Ahab reigned in Samaria. He was married to the wicked Jezebel. Judah's king went to this Ahab, who forsook the Lord and worshipped Baal. Up to this time, Judah and Israel always warred against each other, and as neighboring nations lived in enmity together. Jehoshaphat thought, really, that should not be. We belong to the same people. We all are children of Jacob. We should not fight against each other, but we should help each other. He enters into a peace treaty with Ahab. From now on, these two kingdoms must live in peace. That is why Jehoshaphat goes to visit Ahab. Ahab gladly receives him. They associate together as the best of friends. Yes, it even goes beyond friendship. Jehoshaphat's oldest son, who is named Jehoram, is permitted to marry Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Thus, these two royal houses become bound together by family ties. This is pitiful. Jehoshaphat was not allowed to do that. A worshiper of idols and a child of the Lord should not become friendly with each other. Ahab asks Jehoshaphat to help him in the battles against Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. Ahab wants to conquer Ramath in Gilead. Jehoshaphat promises to help, and together they go to the battle. We already have told you about that, haven't we? You still remember the prophet Micaiah, who was shut up in prison by Ahab, foretold that Ahab would be slain? On that occasion, Jehoshaphat was in the greatest danger, but the Lord kept him from being slain. The Lord took care of him so that he again could return to Jerusalem. Read the history again in chapter 89, will you? When Jehoshaphat rides into Jerusalem, a prophet of the Lord meets him. This prophet reprimands him. He says to Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate God?" Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, also was reprimanded when he entered into a covenant with Syria against Baasha, the king of Israel. At that time, Asa cast the prophet into prison. Happily, Jehoshaphat doesn't do that. No, he bows his head in shame. The prophet speaks the truth. Jehoshaphat feels he has sinned. He again urges his people to worship the Lord. He personally travels through his entire empire. He appoints judges in every city to administer justice and punish the guilty. It is a pity that Jehoshaphat continued to help the ungodly house of Ahab, because when Ahab died and Ahaziah, Ahab's son, reigned, he also was friendly with Ahaziah. This was the same Ahaziah who fell through the lattice and sent to the idol Baal-zebub to ask if he would recover. And again later, when Jehoram, another son of Ahab, went out to fight against the Moabites, Jehoshaphat and his army helped him. They again came into great difficulty, for they had no water. But again the Lord helped in a wonderful way by giving water to the thirsty soldiers. You can read this narrative in chapter 92. Until his death, Jehoshaphat remained friendly with the family of Ahab. He did not want to break that friendship. One time, during the reign of Jehoshaphat, the kingdom of Judah was in great danger. Unexpectedly, when no one realized it, Judah and Benjamin were invaded by four kings at the same time: the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and the Syrians made a league together. These four armies combined into one gigantic army and marched toward Jerusalem, the capital. They have come close to the city. When Jehoshaphat is informed about it, he frightened exceedingly. He hastily musters his army. But Jehoshaphat knows that without the help of the Lord, he will be defeated. Therefore, he does something else. The king goes with his officers to the house of the Lord. He spreads his hands toward heaven and asks the Lord to help him. O Lord God, he prays, help us, deliver us from the enemy. Lord, thou hast promised Solomon that thou wouldest hear the prayers which are sent up to thee from this temple. That which thou hast promised, thou shalt surely do. Hear us in this our need, Lord. Stand up to help us. All the people pray with the king. Suddenly, a Levite says to the king and people, fear not. You need not fight in this battle. Tomorrow morning you must go to meet the enemy. The Lord will defeat this mighty enemy for you. God answered your prayer. When Jehoshaphat hears this, he bows his head. He believes the Lord shall give deliverance. Hearken! The songs of victory already resound through the temple. The priests and Levites acknowledge the Lord for his goodness. Aren't they rejoicing too soon? The enemy is not defeated. That still must be done. We would say, let us wait a while until it really takes place. Oh no, they do not rejoice too soon. The faith that God will give relief is so firm they can sing and rejoice before the victory. They know God gives what he promises. And their faith is not put to shame. When Jehoshaphat and his army leave Jerusalem the following morning and stand upon a hill, they see the powerful army of the enemy in the valley. The powerful army? Why, no. It is no longer an army. The ground is covered with dead bodies. All the enemies are dead. Not one is alive. How can that be? What has happened? They began to fight with each other. The one did not trust the other, and the one slew the other. It wasn't necessary for Jehoshaphat and his soldiers to fight. The fighting is finished. All the weapons and other instruments of this enormous army lay upon the ground, ready to be picked up. The soldiers of Jehoshaphat require 3 days to bring all this spoil to Jerusalem. On the fourth day, they celebrate a great victory feast, a feast to the honor of God, who delivered them so miraculously. And do you know what was so good about it all? Not one soldier of the army of Judah and Benjamin was slain. No one had to mourn the loss of a beloved who died. Jehoshaphat reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. He instructed his people in the service of the Lord for these 25 years, and he himself set an example therein. It was true, it was wrong and sinful for him to be friendly with Ahab and his family. But still, he was a child of God. He feared the Lord in truth. When death came for Jehoshaphat, it was not terrible for him. His soul went into eternal glory. He did not see what happened after his death. The Lord spared him from that. It was dreadful. However, we will tell you about it in our following chapter.